Someone asked if I come bearing gifts. Maybe.
It's a $100 bill. I want one.
Actually, the theme of today is Jesus, the bread of life. So first, I'm going to place a matzah, and then this humongous piece of bread. Humongous is a scriptural word. You want to look that up later. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of seeing a movie that I'd not seen, but I'd seen the trailer as far as probably you have on television. And so I had the opportunity to see this with a group of guys, and the title of the movie is called Defiance. And maybe you've seen it or heard of it, but it's based on a true account. It's a film that was done in 2008. It was based on a true account of the Nazi invasion of Belarus. Two Polish Jewish brothers help over 1,000 Jewish survivors survive execution. And as they hide by building encampments in the forest for over a year, they barter and they steal food from local farmers as they weather the brutal winter and their living conditions. And simultaneously, they all, men, women, and even older children, prepare for combat with their very limited resources. One scene in the movie really got my attention, and it was a scene that shows their bread ration that has been eaten, and they have to pass a small piece of bread to one another. And this was lots and lots of people that were gathered together. For each one of the people there, just to take a small bite. It's a poignant moment highlighting their distress, but also showing they intend to live or die in the situation together. Most of us probably don't think about the need for bread because we have, some of us, including me, have too much of it available. I've told Patty, I've said I've been working on this one ab for years, you know, no number, just one. It's easy to keep track of, you know, just have one. And bread has certainly been a part of the development of that one ab. The necessity of bread for life, it is the single food staple around the world. Without it, there is little life expectancy. And its content differs from place to place, but it is a necessity to maintain life. And it's very, very powerful. If you can control incoming resources for people to produce bread. You know, bread's portable. You know, I mean, I brought this bread here today in a bag. For eons, millennia, people have been putting a piece of bread in a leather pouch or some sack of some sort, and they travel with it. So they need that, and they need water source, and they survive. So we have bread as a necessity of our lives. But bread is also a pleasant meal option. So I hope to make you a little hungry by reading what I'm about to read. For us, it's a delicious basket of rolls. Croissants. By the way, I had to look up how to spell croissant. I love eating them, but I never really spelled it before. You know, there's flat bread, there's pocket bread. I love pocket bread. You know, you can drip honey down in it. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, that's good stuff. Loaves of all sorts, like I've placed up here. Sorts and styles. Cheeses are mixed in, you know. The flour dusted on the top. Sliced thick or thin. Just like you like it, you know. You pop it in the toaster. It's warm. Patty said, can I have some jelly with that? You know, even as I pulled out the matzah today, can I have some jelly with that? Yes. Maybe later. You know, we're presented at our table when we go to the restaurant, you know. It could be black bread, whole wheat, white, and there's wonderful flavored butters that go along and spreads. You know, they're optional for meals. They're never really an option for me. I'm going to eat it, you know. So I have a couple of favorites I'm just going to tell you about. Just a few, not many. I'm going to start. I may have told you this story, but don't stop me because I like telling it, all right? Where I grew up, just about a mile, in fact, where I grew up, was the Wonder Bread Bakery. Every time we went to my grandmother's house, we had to pass the Wonder Bread Bakery. So this preceded, well, at least my dad told us, it preceded air conditioning in the car. So we had, you know, I grew up in Florida, so it was quite warm. So we almost always had the windows down, at least partially. And so we knew, though, that the windows were definitely going to be down as we went past the bakery. So we would, you know, it was like the car windows were automatic. As soon as we just knew we were rounding the bend to pass the bakery, all the windows went down, you know. Well, the problem with that is when you smell the bread, what happens? You want bread. You want to eat. So it's another 10 or so miles from there to my grandmother's house, which was where we were going to eat. But we were getting hungrier and hungrier. And as small children, my sister and I were sitting in the back seat. Now we go into complaining mode because we rolled the windows down and smelled the Wonder Bread. I'm sure they made other kinds of bread, but the Wonder Bread, that was the best. Because you could tear the crust off of it and, you know, create that little ball, you know, with the bread and, you know. See, you're laughing, so you know about this. You've either done it or you've watched your grandchildren do it, you know. There's a place in Frederick called Nito's. It's a great little Italian restaurant. They come out with these little baguettes and they're warm. Oh, so good. And then I like to go to Longhorn Steakhouse. They have brown bread there. But they have sweet butter that you put on it. Oh, it's great. I just have two more. Are you hungry yet? Manilou, this Italian restaurant that's near our home, way too near our home, has grilled flatbread. It's kind of like pizza crust, sort of, but it's, you know, it comes out with those grilled marks on it, you know, and it's warm, and it's cut in little triangles, and they bring out, you know, olive oil, and I always ask for the butter to go with it. You know, I'm a double dipper. I go for the olive oil and the butter. You know, again, still working on the ab, you know. But I spend a lot of time meeting clients at Panera Bread. Well, I mean, it's in their name. What can I say? You know, Panera, which means pan era. Oh, you know, I asked the manager one time, what does that mean? And he just said, it just means we have bread. You know, just keeping it simple. But I love it because I like to get their sourdough bread bowl. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had their sourdough bread bowl? You know, you put soup in it, you know? Well, they take this thing and they bore out the middle of it, and then that thing is sitting over there, and it's like soft, ready bread to eat, you know? And inside the bowl, they dig it out a little, and they put your soup in it, and it just kind of moistens the whole interior part of the bowl. And I use a fork. I mean, I go with a spoon for the soup, but then I dig all of the bread out I can get. So, are you hungry yet? See, this is an important part of the message because, see, this relates exactly to what Jesus confronted with some folks when he made that statement about, I am the bread of life. So, with that said, just one more thing. Patty's going to bring me something. I typically don't use devices during messages because they often fail me or I fail them, one or the other. But we saw this on Facebook, and I said, I have got to use this weekend when I'm preaching. So I'm going to read it in the vernacular that it says it, and I'm from the South, so this is going to just roll off the tongue. It says, y'all need to stop with this bread is not good for you. Foolishness. Jesus did not say, I am the broccoli of life. Nor did he say, give us this day our daily kale. No, he did not. Stop, just stop. Jesus is life. Jesus is the bread of life. Bread is life. So, with that said, I'd like for you, if you would please, go to the book of John. I have mine marked. I'll get there very quickly. This is John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to read probably a larger portion than I typically do, but we have to kind of get a bird's eye view of this idea of the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. So this follows an incident where he had broken the bread and fed thousands with it. And so then he says in verse 25, and I'm going to read a number of passages, so just stay with me on this. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, how did you get there? How did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth." He, you know, he has this way of hearing what you've said and not responding to exactly what you said, but responding to what caused you to say it, you know. The underlying story, as some of you may remember the last message when I was here. "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval." Then they ask him, what must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God," and this is so simple, "the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." I'll let that sink in just a bit. Because most of us, we add a lot to the work of God. But Jesus said, the work of God is to believe the one he has sent. So they ask him, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away. For I have come down from heaven," remember, like the manna, "not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who he has given, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life." So a question is, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? See, Jesus is the indispensable bread. And yet, at the same time, he often approaches us and we approach him as if he's optional. And yet, in fact, he approaches us in ways that allow us to see him as the bread of pleasure as well. Because our relationship with him is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there is pleasure to eating the bread, and yet knowing that that bread, he is absolutely indispensable. Well, one of the things that he challenged them with in giving them this illustration was when he said, essentially, he was saying, you have to eat of me. And you and I, you know, we've taken communion, we've received communion many, many times. And often when we look at it now, we look at it in remembrance of what occurred on the cross. But when Jesus spoke of this message about eating and drinking, eating of his body and drinking of his blood, for them at that time, it smacked of cannibalism. So they actually were repulsed by the idea. Well, he wasn't talking specifically about eating his body or drinking his blood. But what he was saying is that the nature of who I am, God wants you, the Father wants you to consume the truth that I am. So, starting with chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says this. He says, I am the bread. Now, just for a note, this is the first of many I ams. Now, remember when Moses was sent, he said, well, who should I say that sent me? And God said, tell them, I am that I am has sent you. So here Jesus communicates as the I am. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the door or gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. The vine, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So as you continue from here and read forward, you will see I am after I am after I am. But the first I am is I am the bread of life. I am indispensable. I am, and speaking their language of the day, they knew how indispensable bread was. So they knew, they may not have had this kind of bread that's affected by yeast and rises into this beautiful loaf. They may have only had something similar to this, which more you and I might call it a cracker versus bread. It might have been thicker than this. It may have been something that was a little softer than that, where it could be torn. Remember, we didn't start slicing bread until just really a few years ago. You know that phrase? It's as good as sliced bread. You know, we didn't do that for a long, long time. What we actually did is we took a loaf of bread similar to this or something like that cracker, and we tore off chunks of it. So in the movie that I mentioned earlier, this is exactly what they did. And they had to pass it among hundreds and hundreds of people. And finally, they wound up with a piece that was about this size. And many had to take one bite of this indispensable. And to them, no matter how it tastes, no matter how dirty it might have been, it was their source of life. So what I would ask you is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the bread of life? Now, it may seem odd that I would ask folks in the church, are you hungry for the bread of life? But actually, the people that he was dealing with were people who might, you might say, were religious people. Now, I want to tell you a story that just happened this week. I had the opportunity to sit with a gentleman who has very, very little, so little experience with church that I really could say he has none, except he's about 40 years old. I'm going to call him John, since we're reading from the book of John. And John, the only reason he'd been in church earlier in his life was that he was dating a girl and she went to church. So he went to church with her. But he only went once. And then fast forward years later, he meets a girl and he marries this girl. And so now they've been married quite a number of years and she frequented another church. So he had attended some with her, but just recently something happened. His job in the military required him, he works for the military, his job required him to go to a leadership training event in Texas. So he was there for about a week, and every day after the training, many of them, about six or so, would get together. This was kind of a pod of training among a number of other people, but their pod of training, after the day of training, they would go together and have dinner because they had gotten to know one another during the training. So they're at dinner one evening, and, you know, how people do, they start talking about politics and then religion, and they, you know, they were talking about family and this and that. And when they were talking about religion, he said this was about the third day in, he said there was one woman, and I'll call her Jennifer, there was one woman sitting at the table who was very quiet. Everyone else got involved, and there was this dynamic conversation going on, almost to the edge of an argument, but he said not so much, but he said it was close. And then he said, but Jennifer wasn't saying anything. And so finally someone who had been a part of the dialogue looked to her and said, Jennifer, what do you think? And he said, suddenly when she began to talk, there was a difference about her. So he said, after the meal was over, he said, I couldn't not pursue it a little further. And he began to talk with her. And then the next day, he talked with her a little more. And the next day, he talked with her a little more. As he's sitting at the table with me, telling me this story, his eyes are welling up with tears. Now, this is a man who knows nothing. He is a clean slate other than what he heard from Jennifer. What he found, and this is the way he said it to me, he said, all of the experiences that I had had around the church or people who attend church, they essentially, and this is the way he said it, they kind of check off the box. Went to church Sunday, they check the box. Read my Bible, they check the box. Did something good, they check the box. He said, it's like a bunch of box checkers just to make sure that everything gets done. You know, if you look at what Jesus said about box checkers, he called them religious people. They were religious. And see, the other people at the table with John, they were religious, but they didn't have relationship. And the difference between what he heard from Jennifer and what he heard from others was that Jennifer had a relationship with God. And when she began to talk about God, something got his attention. Suddenly, it was as if Jennifer was saying to him, here, have a taste. Have a taste. He's the bread of life. Have a taste. So he came away from that meal about three different times with me as we talked. He came away from that meal wondering, and he said, what do I do next? And I said, but you're not interested in checking off a box, are you? You're interested in how to have a relationship with Jesus. He said, I don't know. And again, his face grew flush, and he said, I don't know. But you could tell his heart was full, and that God was saying, here, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. This is what you've been looking for. I am the bread of life. So, we finished our meal. We got up. We stepped outside. He started to walk away after we had said, you know, our goodbyes and so forth. And he started to walk away, and he turned around and he said, inside, you said something about the book of John. Where would I find this book of John? You may not encounter anyone just like that. But let me ask you this. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for this relationship? Not just to check off the boxes. And can you be someone's Jennifer? Can you be that person where they just have to know, they have to have a taste Because you have. Because you've eaten. You know him. I'm going to close with this. Remember when he was on the road to Emmaus. And as he talked with the men, they weren't exactly sure who he was, but they were talking about the events that had happened, the crucifixion and so forth. And then Jesus began to talk to them and relate to them. They did not know who he was until they sat down together for a meal. And then he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And in that moment, their eyes were opened. Their hearts burned within them, it says. The reason was because when he did it out of relationship, not just because he checked a box at dinner to have prayer. Let's bow together. Father, I thank you for the simplicity of your word. What is the work that we must do? We must believe. Lord, that we would know you in such a wonderful way that people around us would not be put off because we are religious, but they would be drawn to us because they want to know like we know. They want to understand like we understand. They want to walk with you like we walk with you. Lord, would you help us? Help us not to just be box checkers, but help us to be the Jennifer at the table, the Jennifer in the marketplace, the person who sees us and says, there's just something different about you. Please, please tell me about it. In other words, would you give me a bite to eat? Let me know Jesus, the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen.